Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Carmen, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Happy Sunday, February the 10th. I'm delighted to welcome you to listen into the program this morning. I'm blessed and I'm honored to have you. So if you haven't done so now, put this program on pause and go grab yourself a cup of hot cocoa or coffee. We had a very grueling weekend this week with the snowstorm that hit just a day or so ago. So we in Brooklyn are still being dug out. Every 5 or 10 minutes we hear a snowplow go by. It wasn't too bad. We had a little bit of fun with it, taking pictures and talking about it with folks. And I called up my family up in Massachusetts, and my sister Diana reported that they got about 28 inches of snow, and they take it in stride. And these are folks that actually weather these terrible storms and somehow bounce back, although they got hit pretty hard this time around. And I heard that New York City folks went up there to aid in helping with the snowplow situation. But all in all, it's been a great weekend, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm thrilled to report that I'm still feeling great. I'm producing, I'm writing, I'm recording at the studio. We're in the middle of a collaboration with two international artists, one of them Marla Cavanaugh-Rodriguez, who tours the country and the world with her husband, our beloved American tenor Daniel Rodriguez, who's going to be participating with us in the Melodies of Spring concert coming up April 14th at 7:30 at the Actors Temple Theater. It's an off-Broadway production, and the tickets will be available sometime next week at telecharge.com. Along with Marla and myself will be Sergio Marin, the international tenor from Valencia, Venezuela, a wonderful man who's a professor. He teaches at one of the universities in Valencia. And Sergio is going to be making his New York City debut here alongside of us, Marla and myself, at the Actors Temple Theater on April the 14th. So don't miss it. Tickets will be available at www.telecharge.com. This program has been made possible by the generous contribution of North Coast Subaru of Glen Cove, Long Island. Need a new car? Contact Loretta Maraglia at telephone 516-676-3676. North Coast Subaru is located at 105 Glen Street, Glen Cove, New York. So pay Loretta a visit and tell her that Carmen, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe, sent you.
No, I won't. No, I won't.
Powerful, riveting, inspiring, romantic, jubilant, with excellence not seen since Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and Jose Carreras graced the international stages. The three tenors are back, filling American stages from coast to coast with their magic. So join them on January 30th at the Barberman Performing Arts Center, on April 2-13 at the Kleinman Theater, Buffalo, New York, on April 6th at Upper Darby Performing Arts Center, Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. For ticket information, go to danielrmusic.com or StubHub.com.
The aftermath of Hurricane Sandy is a devastatingly tragic scene. Numerous fatalities have been reported. Coastal property damage is tremendous. Homes have been completely demolished, leaving families in despair, worried, and scattered in various shelter facilities. Countless numbers of men, women, children, and animals throughout the Mid-Atlantic region and eastern United States have been affected. The amazing thing about America is the way our people join together to support our neighbors in times of disaster. SandyRelief.org is the official page of the Hurricane Sandy Relief Foundation, HSRF. The HSRF was established to raise awareness, organize volunteer service efforts, and extend relief to Sandy victims. all their donations go toward food, clothing, supplies, aid and rescue and cleanup efforts, and the future rebuilding of communities and lives destroyed by Hurricane Sandy. Help Hurricane Sandy Relief enhance disaster recovery capabilities and increase reliability of their disaster workforce. Please visit their contact page for further directions on how you can get involved. Go to www.sandyrelief.org. And remember, Sandy is gone. The people had to weather the holidays of 2012 in cold, damp tents. As of now, January 27th, there are still people in various regions in the New York City area still living in tents in 15, 16 degree weather. Please help. The problem is not over. America, we need you. Go to www.sandyrelief.org.
Some of my friends have asked me why I don't feature my music on the program. Well, the fact of the matter is that, yes, I did feature one song, but that was several programs ago, just after Hurricane Sandy hit. But the focus of my program is mostly to introduce people who have projects and have written books and done some really nice things on the show. And we're still developing it. I'm still developing my list of interviews for future episodes. But for right now, in answer to some of the folks who have inquired and asked me to play my music, okay, I will comply and I'll play for you the song Never the Same. I hope you like it.
Walk alone.
For those of you interested in downloading that song, it's available on many online stores around the world, including iTunes. You can download it. Just look up my name, Carmen Amoros, or the song Never the Same by Carmen Amoros on iTunes, Amazon, or any of the other stores, and you can download it. If you're interested in the same song, it is also a part of a mini CD that's available at my website at www.carmenamoros.com, and that's www.carmenamoros.com. Just look it up in the front page. You're going to see my photo there, and you're going to see a button that says mini CD somewhere, and just click on it and order it, and we will send the CD to your address. Or if you're interested, just request the download link, and you could download it from a link that will be sent to you in your email box through a Dropbox process. So it will download automatically to your computer, but please allow several hours to maybe 24 hours response time for the download link. You will get it. It just takes a little bit more time than usual. The mini CD contains 6 songs, and Never the Same is one of them. But I am also in the process of producing a full CD titled Rainbow. And I wish to thank all of the wonderful backers who have supported or are supporting the Project Rainbow. It has been a bit delayed because of all of the work that has to go into a production, and I had no idea just how much goes into producing just one song. So I want to thank all of my backers whose names are listed on my website for supporting this wonderful labor of love. Thank you, and you will receive the CD and the additional compensation for your wonderful support. So I thank you for your patience throughout my work on this project. Well, good morning, New York, the United States, and the world about. This is Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for joining me. I am really thrilled to have looked at the matrix on Block Talk Radio for the New York Podcasting Cafe. And I'm very happy to say that at least 13,000 of you have downloaded this program. So thank you. Today, I just want to talk a little bit about faith. What is faith? Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something, a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. That's what faith is. And so before you actually begin considering to join a religion, you first need to find out what your inner conviction is. What is it that you believe within yourself about who you are and how you got here? Do you believe because your parents believed a certain way, or because you went to church every Sunday or several times a week, and when you were a child and you were growing up in your home, what you were taught, is that what you believe in? Is that what your conviction is? Or do you believe in it because someone taught you it, or because someone forced you to believe in? You need to first come to a conclusion and decide, what is it that you believe to be true within your heart? Faith has to start inside of your heart. It is not something that someone can shove down your throat through books and study or through sermons or any external influences. Faith is something that starts inside of the heart. What is it that I believe in? What is it that you believe in? Faith is belief with strong conviction, firm belief in something for which there may be no tangible proof, complete trust in or devotion to. Faith is the opposite of doubt. If you doubt, you're going to have a serious problem believing in things that are unseen, things that have not been proven. Because to a degree, as human beings and as spiritual beings that we also are, we all need to have a degree of curiosity about who we are and how it was that we got here, that this world got here, that the universe started. And there are many scientific explanations about who we are, how this universe came into existence and why there's a little blue dot of a planet hanging in the vast blackness of outer space that has a perfectly balanced environment, has water and oxygen and living, breathing human beings, the only form of life and existence that is known to us. So if we don't ponder that, if we don't have any interest in furthering why we're here and why we believe that we came here, then there's a problem. Because if we don't believe in something, then at least we should have the healthy disposition of pondering it. A healthy human brain wants to know, wants answers, wants to ponder things. Quite frankly, I do believe that we ourselves are the proof that there is a God. We are this perfectly masterful work of human engineering. And man can try and take credit for having the ability to now clone another mammal or human being. But he did not create the program. God did. And that is my conviction. That is my belief. I have a heart that has electrical impulses that make it beat, that sends blood throughout my system to every cell and tissue of my being. How could I not believe in God? I would be a fool not to. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." I was raised Christian most of my life. And first as a Catholic, and then my parents converted to the Protestant religion. And although I sang in church and I was very heavily involved in the church movement, quite honestly, I had my doubts. So for a time, I stepped out of religion because I wanted to take a look around for myself. I needed to find out who I was and what all of this was really about for myself. Now, I don't recommend people do that because, quite frankly, there are no answers. The only answers that are out there are scientific and biblical. And I already had a lot of exposure to that. I grew up in a Christian home and I studied at Bible seminary and I had all of the knowledge that one would think a person can have about who God is. But again, being a stubborn individual and being strong-headed, I set out to look around for myself. And what happened was that in all of my doubt, in the struggling with trying to believe in God and trying to find out if it was really out there, I had a rude awakening. And I remember for about 2 years, between the years of 1994 and 1995, I would go to sleep crying. I would cry myself to sleep because I was doubting the faith that I had been brought up in. I was doubting that there was a God out there because I had come to see religion as possibly some form of marketing, you know. Some people market products, other people market religion. So my doubts intensified because of it, because I started seeing that a lot of people were selling Bibles, a lot of people were collecting offerings, a lot of people were selling a lot of music. So I had my doubts because of that. That God had no fault in it, naturally. I'm an individual. He gave me a brain, and he let me think, and he let me doubt. And he let me make choices. And one of the choices that I made was to step back and take a look around. And I did. And between the years of 1994 and 1995, I lived in doubt. I almost got to the point of not being sure that I believed in the existence of God. And as a result, I remember crying myself to sleep because I did not want to be an agnostic or an atheist. And I would pray and say, "God, if you're really out there, show yourself to me." I became a doubting Thomas, you know, and I'm not proud of that. That's not something that I should be proud of. A young woman who was raised in you know, the Word of God and was sent to Bible college and should have known better.
I'm not proud of it. And honestly, that's not why I'm talking about it here. I'm just saying it because I want to share to you that my search yielded no results. So what happened at the end of those 2 years was that one morning my husband was shaving, and I could hear him shaving in the bathroom, and I could hear him tapping the razor against the sink. He would rinse and then tap and then shave and rinse and then tap and shave. The usual routine. So I was not exactly asleep. I was sort of like half awake, half asleep. And I remember suddenly out of nowhere, as if a big movie screen had opened up before me, I saw my younger sister Elsa and her son. I saw him lying next to her, and they were both lying down on the tar street somewhere. And I saw that my sister, and I'm sorry if this is graphic, but I'll tell you what I saw in this vision or whatever it was she was opened up, and these gloved hands were pulling pieces of glass out of her. And I saw my nephew, Adam, off to her left, on her left side, and he was sort of glowing like a blue light. And the only thing that I knew to do at that very moment that I saw that was say, God, no, please, not my sister. Please don't take my sister. And I remember jumping out of bed and crying out loud and in hysterics. And my husband, Ira, who is really, I mean, he has faith, but he's not as grounded spiritually as I am, asked me what was wrong. And I said, look, I can't tell you because you're not going to understand what I just saw. And I remember feeling nauseous and just feeling sick from what I had seen. I mean, I had just seen my sister on a tar floor somewhere out in the street, opened up surgically, and pieces of glass being removed from her. Now, some months later, I have eight brothers and sisters, four brothers and four sisters, and I'm the oldest of nine. And some weeks later, I received a phone call at my job at around 2:45 in the afternoon, and it was my sister Diana who had told me that there was no easy way to share that the same sister that I had seen in that vision had actually been in a car accident. And she said, there's no easy way to say this, but Adam died. And, you know, our sister Elsa is 50-50. She's in a coma. They don't think she'll live. And when she told me that, my whole world was rocked completely out of its foundation. And I remember the people that I work with put me in a company car and sent me home. And on my way home, I began to wonder why it was that several weeks before I had seen what I had seen. And out of eight brothers and sisters, the one that actually was in a car accident and whose life was hanging on a thread and who had lost a son was actually the sister that I saw in that vision. And, well, when I got home, my husband looked at me and said, how did you know? And I said, how did I know what? He said, how did you know this was going to happen? Because he remembered how several weeks before I had gotten up in hysterics telling him about what I had seen. I don't believe that I'm clairvoyant, and I don't think that there's anything special about me that allows me to see into the future or to be to prophesy. But here is what I concluded, and that is that in my doubt for 2 solid years, I had prayed to someone that I was doubting, to a greater being, to God. And I feel that he, in his infinite love and wisdom, decided to show me that he loved me in the way that he chose to, and that he does exist by projecting something that would happen in the future. And that would be, sadly, my sister's accident and my nephew's death. And, of course, I was helpless to find out when it would happen, where, and how. And I never questioned, I never sought those answers, because I was so overwhelmed by what I saw, and knowing that it happened while I was not even fully asleep, it just completely freaked me out. And my husband is testament of that. He
he thought that I had lost my marbles, and quite frankly, I thought I was losing my marbles too, because I had never been through something like that before. But I can say is that I asked and I received an answer, and I will never question God's existence ever again, because since there's no power in me, and since I know that I'm just a human being, what I saw had to come from Him. And I asked, and He responded by showing me something that would happen in the future. And I can imagine Him up there saying to Himself, "All right, you want to know whether I exist or not? I'm going to show you, but you're not going to like what you're going to see." And I knew that whatever it was that I saw was inevitable. It was going to happen. I was helpless to stop it. I didn't know the day, the time, or the place. I'm sorry that I saw it and that I was helpless and couldn't do anything about stopping it. But one thing I'm not sorry about, and that is that it did restore my faith. It was not the most favorable way that a person's faith can be restored, but I'm thankful that I do believe in God and that my faith in Him was restored. I honestly don't care what other people think about what I have shared here today. I honestly don't care if they don't believe it, because that's not going to affect what I believe in either way, because I had my own personal experience, my own personal walk with God, and my own personal faith was restored based on whatever interaction I had with God, whether it was negative or not, because in fact it was negative. I was being negative. But nothing that anybody thinks about me is really going to affect how I feel, because I know there's a God. I know somebody sent me a message. Someone greater than me sent me a message. And of course, I was not deserving of it. I'm just another human being like everyone else. And there's no special reason why God has to communicate to me to prove Himself to me. But yet, in His infinite mercy, His grace, and His love for me, He did show me something so that I could be restored in my faith and in my belief in Him. If you have a little bit of faith, even faith the size of a mustard seed, cling on to it. Cling on to God. Assert your faith. And know that you're not here just because of a sheer accident that happened. Something that exploded. Yeah, of course stars explode all the time and beautiful things come out of those explosions. Such as what happened with our existence, with our galaxy. It doesn't matter how it all got started, whether it was with a big bang or whatnot. The fact of the matter is that someone got it rolling. And that person, no matter what, the answer is always God. And don't question. Don't question if there's a God. There is a God. Why? Because you are the proof that there is. You're an amazing piece of human engineering that He made. What better proof than that do you want? Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So, now that you know, because you're the proof, thank Him. And to thank Him is to believe in Him. This is Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. Thank you for listening in. You have been listening to Carmen Amoros, host of the New York Podcasting Cafe. If you wish to reach me, contact me at events@carmengoldbergmedia.com or at carmeng@newyorkpodcafe.com. Thank you, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.